Today we're going to talk about the differences between Noah, Job, and Daniel, which were very few. They were almost all the same. They followed God exactly. It says about Noah, he was blameless in his time. It indicates that he resisted peer pressure, behavior, false teachings, and putting pressure on everyone during his time. He did not succumb. It says he walked with God. It indicates the highest degree of obedience in a person's relationship with God, that he walked with God. It also mentions Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. If we find favor in the eyes of the Lord, what else would we have to do? That's the most important thing. And an example also is Daniel, how he stood up. He was willing to be cast into the fiery furnace instead of worshiping Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Sometimes we just don't know what to do in life. But if we follow God's word and stick with his word, whether it makes sense to us or not, that's going to get us through most of the time. Now, many of these cases in the Bible had to do with the judgment of God. God has in his grace made a provision whereby a person can be exempt from the judgment of God. That's when we ask Jesus Christ into our heart and ask him to forgive us for our sins, and we don't have to worry about this condemnation. But in the Bible, God just got fed up sometimes, it seems like, with the way people were living. And it says in Genesis 6:5, God saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Hopefully none of you listening today are that way. We need to try to be righteous and holy in God's sake. Genesis 6:6 it says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and every creeping thing in the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made of them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is very important, Genesis 6:8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ezekiel 4:12 mentions some of this. It says, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me, trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and I will send famine on it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. In the case of Noah, God came down in Genesis 6:7 and he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and every creeping thing in the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Noah had developed a talent of listening to God and following his rules. He also developed an earthly talent of building boats. It says in verse 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, which we've already said. In 6:9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. The word generations here typically means in his business and his actions. It says he was perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Isn't that what we see now so often? You see it on TV, you hear it on the radio. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. And through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Genesis 6:14 says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of the ark 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. The window shall thou set, make to the ark, and in the cubit, a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. This was amazing that God would expect him to be able to do it, so he must have had some engineering talent besides his ability to follow God's rules and besides his ability to be a preacher of righteousness, as it says. Genesis 6:17, and behold, I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the heavens, and everything that is in the earth shall die. And he's talking to Noah now in verse Genesis 6:18. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. God would not have picked on Noah to do this if Noah wouldn't have had the capability of doing it, and God also had to know that Noah would follow his rules and do his ways and do everything that he told him to do and show righteousness. It also mentions Daniel in Ezekiel, and it says that Daniel 1:3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring of the children of Israel and the king's seed and other princes, children in whom was no blemish, but was well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, such as had the ability to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. In Daniel's case, him and his friends were very well known, that they could read, write, they understood all sorts of things. He had done a great bit of studying and been taught by the scribes and the other people that were there in his land before he was taken captive. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and wine, which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end of therefore they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For under Daniel he called the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with this meat, because he knew it was something that he had to change in his life to show God that he was serious, and he meant that he was going to do all the things that God wanted. Daniel 1:7, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all vision and dreams. It's showing that God is setting him up to be a leader here. Daniel 1:20, and all manners of wisdom and understanding. And the king inquired of them, and he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. This is what God can do for you. If you're doing your job right, and you're living God's ways, he can make it turn out so that you'll be better off than most all of the other people around you. In this case, they were 10 times smarter. Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and interpreted thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise man, the astrologers, the musicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon the bed are these. And Daniel goes on to explain it. As for thee, O king, the thoughts came into thy mind upon the bed, which should come to pass after. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. See, Daniel's letting it know that God is in charge. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is in charge. The God that Daniel worships, Jehovah. Daniel 2:30 says, but as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but that the sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer oblations to him. Then the king said to Daniel, Oh, of a truth, this it is, that your God, a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, many gifts, and made him ruler over whose province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors, and the wise of Babylon. Daniel 2:39. Then Daniel requested of the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Daniel and the Jews were accused of worshiping an idol worship. Well, I can shorten this story up telling you that they eventually were not going to worship that idol, and they would not bow down. And so they were going to be thrown into the kingdom's fiery furnace, and they did it. And Daniel told the king, he said, if God wants to save us, he can, but if he doesn't, it's okay. We know that we've served our God, and we're going to do it his way. Nebuchadnezzar was very upset, and he threw him into the furnace. And Daniel and his family of friends were okay, and the king noticed that there was a fourth person in there. And after this, the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and the province of Babylon, because nothing was burned about these four people that were in there. And Daniel later interprets the handwriting on the wall. In the case for Job, which was mentioned in Ezekiel, it says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. This is a sample of what we're supposed to be. This is an example of what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be perfect, upright, fear God, and eschewed evil. In other words, we don't like evil. He was a talented rancher in Israel, Job was. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen. He had an awful lot. And the same Satan came up and answered the Lord and says, Does Job fear you for nothing? And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all the earth, all that he hath is in thy power. And then all sorts of bad things started happening to Job. He didn't know if God was doing it. He didn't understand that Satan was trying to do this to prove something. He didn't know that God had set him up in front of Satan as an example, and Satan accused him. And later, God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind, telling him all the things that he did, and telling Job, Are you smarter than me? Can you do all these things? Can you put the stars in the heaven? And Job couldn't say much about that other than he trusted God. He was upset because he was in pain and suffering. And his relatives bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him, they thought. All the evil the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, it says in Job 42:12. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He also had sons and 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the next Keziah, and Karen Hapak. In all the land there was no women found so fine as these women. What we see here is that Daniel, Job, and Noah followed God's rules. They knew that it was God's rules. And that's our example today, is to follow God's rules, not to go out carousing, going to bars, and stuff like that. We have to learn to be holy. And if we have a sin in our life, we don't have to worry about God coming down and destroying us today. In 1 John 1:9 it says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And that spirit of fear is dread. Sometimes that'll come on you over a bill, over a misunderstanding with your neighbor, over a misunderstanding with a relative. You can't let that spirit of fear take you over. You've got to ask God in your heart. And John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's so important to ask God into your life, ask him to forgive you for your sins, get baptized, go to church, and ask God to fill you with his Holy Ghost. In Acts 2:38 it says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you and all those who are far off," was the next verse. Peter continued preaching. He had all kinds of miracles that he was doing. The Holy Ghost came into his life and empowered him to do real stuff. Not just talk about it. Not just say, "Oh, I prayed for that man. I know he's going to get healed." Peter had prayed for someone, and they were healed. Their hands, their legs, their eyes were healed. God's power was really in him, and that's only because that God could trust Peter to do the things he was supposed to. And he said that, "On this rock I'll found my church." And that was Peter. God expects people to follow his rules and be the kind of people they should be. And when you're going to be threatened to be put into a fiery furnace, just say what Daniel did. "I know God can save me, but if he doesn't, I'm not going to bow down and serve your evil things that you have on your TV and on your books and all this stuff." You just need to ask God to be in there with you and help you to be the kind of person you need to be. And don't forget 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And also, it says in another verse, "Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them." There used to be a minister that always said, "Expect a miracle." And that's what I would tell you today. Expect a miracle. Don't be afraid when they're going to throw you into that furnace. Just say, you're going to trust into God. Thank you for tuning in today to Witnessing for Jesus. My name's Theodore Turner. We'll see you again next time.